Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew. I would like for us to look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I think most of you are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 24 is where the disciples take Jesus to the temple and show him the buildings of the temple. And they, of course, were believing that Jesus was about to set up his kingdom there in Jerusalem. They thought the temple was going to be their place of reigning. They were looking for a material kingdom, a literal kingdom. They were looking for a physical kingdom to be set up, and Jerusalem was going to be the capital of that new kingdom. So they're showing him the buildings of the temple, and there, you remember how James and some of the others wanted to sit here and one wanted to sit there. And Jesus told them that there was not going to be one stone left upon another, that all those buildings were going to be torn down, and that shattered their concept of the kingdom of heaven being established here in Jerusalem. The Old Testament had declared that when the Messiah came, that he was going to set up his kingdom, and it was going to be a new Jerusalem. And their thoughts were, they're going to take this city, and it was going to be a different kind of city, but still it was going to be a material kingdom. Jesus told them that whole kingdom that they were talking about, the natural kingdom, was going to be completely dissolved, that the Jews were going to be broken off, that it was going to be the end of the Jewish world. Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, and then he was going to set up the kingdom of heaven. So Matthew 24 is describing the events that lead up to the destruction of Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem, and then chapter 25 begins then, that is after the destruction of Jerusalem that's described in Matthew 24. Matthew 25 begins, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. And it begins to tell us about the kingdom of heaven. So chapter 24 is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Chapter 25 is talking about the establishment of the new Jerusalem that is still here today. Matthew 24, I want to begin with verse 9. There's a particular expression that's found as Jesus is talking to his disciples about the end of that Jerusalem, that old Jerusalem, the end of the Jewish dispensation. And let me ask you this question. Why was Jerusalem destroyed? Why were the Jews broken off? What caused that severe judgment? Unbelief. They did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. They rejected him, and they also were full of worship of false gods. They had turned their backs on God. It's a sad display of how a nation can turn her back on God. That's what the Jewish nation did. They turned their backs on God, and then God brought his judgment on them for turning their backs on God. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 9, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." That's the main thought that's on my heart this morning, is where Jesus, as he's describing the events leading up to the total destruction of Jerusalem, he says in verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now, what is love? There are a lot of different definitions of love. In fact, the word love, as we have in the King James translation, that word love comes from a lot of different Hebrew and Greek words in the New Testament. But my point is, one of the main meanings, a general meaning of the word love, is a manifestation of a feeling of strong devotion and attachment. It's a manifestation. It's not just a feeling. I think usually we think of love as just a feeling. The word love is showing deep devotion and strong attachment. Is there anything or anyone that you love? Is there anything or anyone that you love? Now my question immediately goes to, are you showing them deep devotion and strong attachment? Because I think if I list those that I love, I would have a long list of people that I love in a general kind of way, in a brotherly love kind of way. But my question still is, am I showing that love? Because if you're not showing love, you're not loving the way the Bible talks about. You manifest love. You show love. You remember what Jesus said to Peter when he asked Peter. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love me? If I said to you, Brother Neil, do you love me? I love you too. Do we show each other we love each other? I know that if I needed you, I could call on you, and I hope you know that if you needed me, you could call on me. You don't have to always be doing something for someone, but you'll have a manifestation of love. When we see each other, we show love for each other. We manifest that love for each other. That's what love is. It's a manifestation of deep devotion and strong attachment. And Jesus asked Peter, Simon, lovest thou me? Do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know that I love you. And what did Jesus tell Peter? Feed what? What's the first thing he said? Feed my lambs. Now, if you love me, there's a great principle there. Jesus is saying, if you love me, you go feed my lambs. If you love me, go feed my sheep. If you love me, go feed my sheep. Now, what's the point? The point is, if you love Jesus, how do you show your love for Jesus? It's by doing things for other people. Jesus sets that principle throughout the Word of God. If you want to show your love for Jesus, the only way you can really show your love for Jesus is by showing your love for other people. If you don't show love, if the one you're loving, who do you think you love more than anybody else? Be honest just a minute. Somebody. Thank you, Brother Jerry. I think that most of us, most of the time, love ourselves more than we love anything else or anyone else. And that's not the Christian way. If I love myself, if that's the one that I'm doing things for, if that's the one that I'm concentrating on, if that's the one my thoughts are about, then I'm missing the mark, and I am not a Christian if I'm loving me first. If I'm first in my life, then I'm not loving Jesus. If I'm loving Jesus, I have to be loving His people. I have to be doing things for His people. Another statement that Jesus made, not only, if you love me, feed my sheep, do things, serve people. That's the way you love Jesus. If you really love Jesus, you're going to be doing things for people. And another time, Jesus said in John 14, He said, if you love me, John 14 what? So tell me, Mama, you're wording it out. Keep my commandments. Now, I didn't know she was going to be here this morning, but that's the correct answer. She didn't know what I was going to be preaching about. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is that an action? Is that action? See, all the way through the Scriptures, if you love me, feed my sheep. Serve my people. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love, if a man, Jesus says, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. If you're loving Jesus, you're doing things to help people, and you're doing things to keep the commandments of God. Jesus says the first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you love your neighbor? Now, what do you usually think about? I still have problems with that. I still think of it as a feeling. So if you say, do you love me? I would say what? Yes. But the question is, am I showing my love for you? If we're not showing our love for God, if we're not manifesting our love for God by keeping His commandments and serving His people, then we don't really love God. Now, what does this text say in Matthew 24:12? It says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall," what are the last two words there? "Wax cold." Now, I present to you this morning and declare to you that the only person whose love can wax cold is somebody whose love has been hot. Your love can't wax cold if it hadn't already been hot. You can't go from one condition to another without having been in that first position. The only ones whose love waxes cold are those that are children of God, who have been born of the Spirit of God, and God loves them. Remember now, we love Him because what? He first loved us. The only reason you love God is because He first loved you. God loves you. Does God show you love? Or does God just feel love? God shows His love. The Bible declares the greatest way that God ever manifested His love. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son. All through the Scriptures, when you read about the love of God, you read about what God is doing for us. That's the way He shows His love. That's the way He loves. And the people of God are to show their love for God and to one another. And I asked this question this morning, is it possible today that the love of many is waxing cold? Is that possible? I believe it's true with all of my heart, and I hope that as we go through the Word of God this morning, that you will see clearly that we are in a condition where the love of, what's the next word? The love of what? Many, not a few. But the love of many, Jesus says about this Jewish nation, the love of many was waxing cold. That means the love, their love towards God, and their love towards one another, and their love towards the Word of God, and the house of God, and the people of God, their love was waxing cold. And the love of the people of God in America today is waxing cold toward God. And again, I emphasize, I'm talking about children of God, because only children of God, only their love can wax cold, become cold. Go with me right now to, well, let me ask you this question before we leave Matthew 24:12. What does the Scripture say is the cause of the love waxing cold? Jesus says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Are there a lot of distractions that keep you from loving God? Are there a lot of things out there? Are there many temptations in life today? Aren't most of us pretty busy? Most everybody's busy. But my question is, why are we busy? And what are we busy doing? Is your mind pretty well occupied most of the time? Is your life pretty full? You remember how Jesus said, he was busy about His Father's business. And so often our busyness is not because of our serving God or loving God. Our busyness is because we're serving self. Iniquity is abounding. Love for God is what? It's waxing cold. It's getting cold. In fact, when your love waxes cold, you turn very bitter toward those that you once loved. In America, our love for God at one time, I believe, was a genuine love. I believe that as a nation, our founding fathers loved God and proved their love for God. And love was hot. Zeal was manifest toward God. Love was manifest toward God. Love was manifest toward people. And today we've gone into a condition where we now in America, we despise God and hate the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying everybody. I'm talking about as a whole, our nation despises the name of Jesus Christ. Our love has what? waxed cold. And when it waxes cold, it doesn't mean it's down real small. It means really when you're, once your love waxes cold, you then change. Did you know people can change from love to hatred real quick? Did you know that? Did you know the people that you love the most, you can one day hate the most? Did you know that's true? What happens? What happens? Love waxes cold. And when love waxes cold, it doesn't mean it's just neutral and gone out and no feeling. That love then, if it really waxes cold, most of the time it will manifest itself by changing from love to actual hatred. And that's the way it's happened in America. First, it went from a hot zeal and love for God to then beginning to cool off a little bit. And then it was just a neutral position where it wasn't cold, it wasn't hot. What was it? What does the Word of God call the church at Laodicea? It was a what? What kind of church? A lukewarm. Is there a difference in being cold and being lukewarm? Yes. And so the church at Laodicea was lukewarm. If it was lukewarm, it was on the way to waxing cold. And God came to that church and told the church before it waxed completely cold, He says, I caution you, I warn you, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Will God spew His people out of His mouth when their love waxes cold, their love for God, their love for the Word of God, their love... Do you love the Word of God? How many times do you read the Word of God every day? Do you love... Let me ask you this. How many of you love your cell phone? How many of you love your cell phone? Okay, there's a few hands went up. Most of us wouldn't admit that, do we? But most people love their cell phones. They take it with them. Someone sent us something for the Trumpet of Truth recently where it was asking the question, do you love your cell phone or the Bible the most? Those that are attached to their cell phones, when the cell phone, when they leave the house, guess what goes with them every time? And if they leave the house and the cell phone's not with them, what will they often do? They'll go back. They'll call somebody, bring me my cell phone. I've got to have my cell phone. Well, that's a love for... And brethren, there are so... Let me just stop here and say, there are so many electronic devices today that is contributing to your love waxing cold. Can television cause your love for God to wax cold? Can books and movies, can all kinds... Video games, can that... Can you think you're loving God when you're sitting there playing those video games? How many of you think you're loving God when you do that? Whatever it is that your life is wrapped up in, it can be work. Can work cause your love? Can a job cause your love for God to wax cold? Can a job even cause... And let me tell you what, I know this from experience, that when I worked too much and spent too many hours, when my job was my God, everybody understand that. When my job was number one in my life, what did I say to a pastor who told me, you're putting your work number one in your life? What was my response? But John, got any idea what I said to him? Anybody have any idea what I said? I'm providing for my family. And I went right to Scripture that gave me excuses, I thought. It was a lie. But it appeased my conscience to give the Word of God to say, I'm providing for my family. Now, it was significant that at that time I lived in a three-story house in one of the nicest subdivisions in Macon, Georgia, and was making a tremendous amount of money. But my point is, my job was my God. And you know what waxed cold during that time? You know what waxed cold? My love for whom? My love for God. I never stopped going to church. Kept right on going. I was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I taught Bible study. I was still just as active. But my love had waxed cold. You know what happens when a person's love for God waxes cold? They still go through all the formalities, but the zeal, the heartfelt condition is gone. The love is gone. The emotions are there. The Scripture says that they draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. But what? But the heart is far from thee. That's what happens to people when they start loving the world. You remember how John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Why do I need to watch out for loving the world and the things that are in the world? What happens when I love the world and the things that are in the world? What happens? Okay, my treasure's there, but what else? That's right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world. 1 John 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Do you ever love the things that are in the world? Anybody here ever love the things that are in the world? Does that become a love? When that love for the world and the things that are in the world, the Scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You hear that? What happened? What love waxed cold? One love waxed hot. What happened to the other love? It waxed cold. The love for the world. We need to examine ourselves and see which one do we love the most. We need to pray, God, open my eyes. Help me see. Is my love for God, the house of God, the people of God, the Word of God, is my love for God full of fire? Or has my love, is it at least lukewarm? And what causes your love for God to be lukewarm and eventually wax cold? Loving what? Loving the world and the things that are in the world. How many of you ever have a problem with that? Loving the world and the things that are in the world. Loving the world. And what happens when you love the world? Not you, dear sister. Well, this sister's from the nursing home. How old are you now? 81. And you still have a problem with loving the world?
Yeah,
well, praise the Lord, sister. I knew you were honest. Amen. 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 Now, that's honesty, you know? If I was 81, I hope that if I live to be 81, I hope that I'll still know myself enough that I know I still have a problem with loving the world. As long as you live in this body, you're going to have that problem. You don't ever get over it. It's part of human nature that you love the world and the things that are in the world. The only child of God that's going to survive is a child of God that's continuously looking at himself and saying, and measuring and saying, I wonder what is my first love. You remember the church in Ephesus? You remember how God rebuked that church? And he said, you've done some things that are right, but I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. How many of you think that first love was the world? No, it wasn't the world. What was the first love that church had left? The first love was God. And they had left the first love. They were still going through motions that were right and good. They were still doing some things that were right. And that's what happens when people are confronted with the fact that their love is waxing cold. They immediately tell you the things they're still doing that are right. That church at Ephesus was really, Jesus just defused them when he says, I know what you're doing. I know you're doing this, and you're doing this, and you're doing this. I know all about that. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. You've left your first love. Did he tell them it was all over? What was happening to their love? What was happening? In fact, what had happened to their love? It had what? It had waxed cold. They had left their first love. Their first love was God, but now it was no longer God. There was some other love that was number one. Let me back up just a minute to that time that I was 21 to 25 years old, that my love for God had waxed cold. Guess what else waxed cold? My love for what waxed cold? My love for God waxed cold. I've already acknowledged that, but guess what else waxed cold? My love for His Word waxed cold. Absolutely. Yes, even my love for my family. Now, brethren, you might think that's totally ungodly, and it is ungodly. But I'm telling you that anybody here, when your love for God waxes cold, your love for your family will also wax cold. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Wives, love your husbands. Parents, love your children. Mothers, let me just say right, let me pause right here. Mothers, please listen, all mothers, listen. Or prospective mothers. Anybody that may one day have a child. Kylie, hopefully you'll one day have a child. Listen to this. Sister Bethany, you're a little further along. Listen to this. Mothers. Can a mother, listen carefully, can a mother stop loving her child? Can a mother stop loving her child? Does that almost seem unheard of, that a mother could stop loving her child? Did you know the Bible says a mother can stop loving her child? A love of a mother, the love of a mother for her child, even that love can wax cold. Do you know what causes the love of a mother for her child to wax cold? What happened first? What happened first? Say it again, Brother Ken. Yes, the. Okay, let's look at that. Look in your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49. How many of you mothers, don't raise your hand, just think. How many of you mothers have ever recognized, I'm not loving my children as much as I should? How many of you, don't raise your hand, just think. How many of you fathers have ever recognized, listen, brethren, you have a responsibility to provide for your family. But you do not have a responsibility to have some standard of living that's so high that it interferes with you being with your family and being a father to those children. One of the last statements in the Bible in the Old Testament was that God was going to send John the Baptist, who was going to turn, I want you to listen to this now, John the Baptist was going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Did you know that's something that needs to happen today? Is the hearts of the fathers need to be turned. Did you know that? That's a major problem we have in America, is that fathers need to come home. Fathers need to love their children. What happened? What caused the hearts of the fathers to not be towards their children? What was the first step? What was the first step? Okay, very good, Brother Mike. He went back to the real root. Iniquity abounded. Iniquity abounded. Iniquity abounded. Oh, no, I know it doesn't abound in any of your lives, right? Iniquity doesn't abound in your life. But y'all know some sinners somewhere that iniquity abounds in their lives, right? Iniquity abounded, and it caused their love for God to wax cold. And once your love for God waxes cold, your love for your family will wax cold. If I would just ask every father here, examine your heart. Do you love your children like you need to be loving them? I'm not asking you, do you have that fuzzy feeling in your heart? What am I asking, Brother David? When I say, fathers, do you love your children and your grandchildren? I'm asking, are you showing them love? Are you manifesting? Because the word love is not talking about a fuzzy feeling in the heart. It's talking about doing things. Are you loving your children? Are you proving you love them? Are you showing them that God is number one in your life and God must be number one in their lives? Have you proven to them that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Don't you dare tell your children, don't do as I say. Don't do as I do, but do as I say. Don't tell them that. They won't listen to a hypocrite. Children will not listen to hypocrites. You have to show them how to love. If you're raised in a home where a mother loves her children, and I thank God that we've got a lot of mamas in this congregation that love their children. Love their children. We've got daddies that are loving their children. But there's not a mama here, not a daddy here that couldn't improve. We need to love them more. One songwriter said, I want to love him more. Talking about Jesus. I want to love him more. He's done so very much for me. I want to love him more. I want to love him more. I love my wife, but I want to show her more love. I love my children, but I want to love them more. I want to show more love. The if I don't love God and He doesn't have preeminence in my life, if He's not my first love, I need to know where it's going to lead me. The love can wax cold, and when that love waxes cold towards God, it'll wax cold toward my family. Look in your Bibles at Isaiah chapter 49. Please look at this. A woman's love for even for her own child can wax cold. Can you prove that in America today, that the love of mamas has waxed cold towards their children? I don't know of any. I think the biggest problem we have in America is the problems we have in the family. That mamas and daddies are not being what they ought to be. They're not loving. They're not loving God, and therefore they're not loving their children and their husbands and their wives like they ought to. Isaiah, am I calling you to do something this morning? What am I calling you to do? To love. To love. I'm calling on you to love. I'm warning you. I'm warning you, your love, my love can wax cold. My love right now may be lukewarm, but my love can wax cold. Bitterness, anger, hatred. But we wouldn't dare call it hatred, would we? No, because we're not supposed to hate. So the bottom line is, if God weighs you in the balances, you'll find out exactly where you are. If we'll judge ourselves, we won't have to be judged by God. But if we don't judge ourselves, God's going to weigh you in the balances. Doesn't matter if you're a king. Doesn't matter if you're a president. Doesn't matter if you're a pauper. Doesn't matter your position. Every child of God is going to be weighed in the balances periodically in their lives. Isaiah 49, listen, beginning in verse 15. The question is asked in Isaiah 49, verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have, what's the next word there? Have what? Compassion. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? You know what that word compassion means? You know what it's the same as? Yes, it's a four-letter word. Love. That's exactly right. You go home and look it up in Strong's Concordance. That word compassion, the first thing that's mentioned there is love. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not love or have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. A woman may forget her love for her child. A woman may not have compassion. A woman may not love her child. What caused that woman to ever reach a point where she did not love her own child? What happened? Yes, what love waxed cold? Okay, what preceded the love for a child waxing cold? The love of her love for God waxed cold, then her love for her child waxes cold. Now, is there a word of consolation in all of this that I just read to you? That I just read to you from Isaiah 49:15? Is there a word of consolation there? What's the word of consolation, Sister Cindy? What's the word? God will never do that. Isn't that marvelous? That's wonderful to me. That's the main message of this whole passage here. The main message of this passage in Isaiah 49 is people may stop loving you. Your brethren may stop loving you. Did people stop loving the Apostle Paul? I'm talking about good friends. I'm talking about fellow ministers. Did they stop loving the Apostle Paul? In 2 Timothy, I believe, chapter 4, he says, Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas, this is Paul speaking to the young preacher Timothy. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What caused Demas to stop loving Paul? He started loving what? The world. What caused Demas to stop loving God? He started loving the world. Did Jesus experience people's love for Him waxing cold? Did Jesus experience that? How many people's love for Jesus waxed cold? How many people? More than that. All. Now, You went to, listen, John 6:66 says this. The Bible says in John 6:66 that many, listen carefully now, many of his disciples turned back and walked no more with him. That's in John 6:66. Now you get to the end of the book of John, and no longer do you find that just many of his disciples turned back and walked no more with him. What happened before Jesus went to the cross of Calvary? They all forsook him and fled. Why would everybody forsake him and fled? There's one reason. There's only one reason Peter denied Christ. You know what it was? Why did Peter deny Christ? Who did Peter love more than he loved Christ? Who did he love more than he loved Christ? He loved himself. He was afraid he'd get put to death. He loved himself more than he loved Christ. Now later, after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter loved Jesus more than he loved himself. So throughout the Scriptures we find people that their love waxes cold because of iniquity. And let me tell you, brethren, iniquity is abounding in our lives today. Iniquity is abounding in America today. But iniquity is abounding in our lives today. And I exhort you and I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ that we would all examine ourselves and get rid of the iniquity in our lives, because if we don't, something will happen. Where iniquity abounds, love for God waxes cold. Is there something you can do to keep your love for God and for your family and for the brethren? Is there something you can do to keep your love from waxing cold? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And if you don't know what to do, you see me, you call me, and I'll come spend time with you. But I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that all of you will pray for God to help you and help me and help us all. We need, listen, brethren, we need to get closer to Jesus. We need to love Jesus. We need to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to love our neighbors, ourselves. We need to love our families. We need to love our children. We need to love our mamas and our daddies. We need to show love. Show love. Show more love. If you don't keep increasing in your love, what will happen to your love? It'll wax cold. There are a lot of little fires out there. There are a lot of little lights. There are a lot of little lights that will distract you from the true light. Who is the true light? Jesus Christ. Are there a lot of lights all out there that are saying, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me? Are there a lot of sparklers out there? How many of you have ever seen a sparkler? I used to like to play with sparklers. You take a sparkler and you dangle it out there. What are children going to do? Most of them go run into that sparkler to look at the sparkler. Sun can be shining, which shines the brightest? The sparkler or the sun? The sun. Jesus is the true light, but we're running after all these little lights in the world. All these little gods out there are saying, come to me, come to me. I'm the best light. I'll give you joy. And when we go after that light and forsake the true light, our love for the true light will wax cold. And Jesus, who is the true light, is also the judge who will chasten us severely when our love waxes cold. May God help us to repent, is my prayer for Christ's sake.